listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. And yeah, that dude's right. We are solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I'm switching gears now. I'm in number three of today's Triple Dipper. Vaccines for kids? It's got a question mark on the end of it because it's a question mark. It is. So just this past, give you a little background here, just this past Friday, May the 20th, the Alabama Department of Public Health recommended that all children age 5 to 12, receive a booster shot of the controversial COVID-19 vaccine. That's a opening paragraph from a story off of 1819 News. The headline of that story is, ADPH recommends children receive COVID-19 boosters, but concerned doctors disagree. So one of those concerned doctors is Dr. Jordan Vaughn. He's a friend of this show. He's been on several times, especially through the pandemic, which is more endemic now. But he came on multiple times to talk to us about the realities of treating COVID. Not just the narrative you hear in the mainstream media, but the realities of it. Dr. Jordan Vaughn, the CEO of MedHelp Clinics in and around the Birmingham area, is on the phone right now. Dr. Vaughn, how are you doing today?
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it very much. So I saw your press release from concerned doctors following up the ADPH saying kids should get boosters. But then I also saw where Pfizer just came out in the last couple of days, and they're suggesting three shots of the Pfizer vaccine for children under 5 years old. Your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I mean, this vaccine, since the initial kind of rollout of the Pfizer product as well as the Moderna product, it was a reasonable thing to consider in people that were at high risk. And given the fact that there was just not that much of a history on this kind of vaccine technology in terms of how it would affect children and the sort, that it was really surprising as they continued to get not only younger and younger and younger, they're now even getting to the point where I think it's even 6 months and above. And the first study on even the 6 month to 5 year olds was so convoluted, and it was actually counterintuitive to what they thought, that they had to roll back their sleeves and try it again, I guess. But this booster for the 5 to 11 year olds is pretty worrisome, especially that our state is recommending it. The main thing with this data is among all age groups, the 5 to 11-year-olds are the highest in terms of seropositivity. So 5 to 11-year-olds have all had COVID, almost 80% as of February 2022. And given that, I'm not really sure why these individuals need a booster, nor did the original two doses actually work. So I just can't see or understand why the Alabama Department of Health is just so quickly following what the FDA said. Now, the problem with the FDA's approval was, first off, the Vaccine and Biological Committee, which is the independent safety board that is part of the FDA, didn't even meet before the approval. And then here's the other thing. The meeting for the Vaccine Independent Committee, which is the ACIP by the CDC, they met 4 days after the FDA already approved it. So guess how the CDC members voted, given that it was already approved. Imagine if you're in a boardroom and you're there to vote on something that has already been enacted. What do you think the likelihood that you would approve that would be?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I mean, the whole thing just continues to follow this narrative that Got to get the shot. And, you know, and I agree that people should have the reasonable opportunity to consult their own medical provider and make their own well-informed decision about what they believe is right for them. But the idea that we're going to say every child has to get the shot. I mean, and by the way, I couldn't help but notice that in the press release that came out from concerned doctors, it opens with the quote from Dr. Scott Harris, our Alabama state officer, where he literally said just a month ago, "I want to let everyone know that I tested positive for COVID-19. Fortunately, I am fully vaccinated, already received my second booster shot," which seems to imply the booster shot sure didn't help him much. It's maybe, I guess in his words, you know, mitigated his symptoms. But children...
Yeah, it's one of the first medical products I've ever seen where you thank it for failing.
Yeah, Yes. Thank you. And that's exactly right. It's like we're saying my seatbelt didn't work, but thank goodness I had it on. What?
Exactly. I mean, I would say, your wife saying, I'm pregnant, but thank goodness the vasectomy he had last year, because otherwise it would have been worse. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I've never seen it before. Usually in medicine, when something fails, you don't thank it.
By the way, we don't talk about vasectomies on my show, just so you know.
Which I will point out is this study that they're using to prove that the booster was useful for 5 to 11-year-olds, again, only involved 400 kids. So again, that's pretty small number. And not only that, all 400 of those kids had never previously had COVID. Okay, so again, it's almost like they're dealing in a population that doesn't exist, when the real world and the real world data they presented said 80% of those kids have already had COVID. So I'm not really sure how you can use that data set to apply to the real world 5 to 11-year-old kids that live in America.
Well, let me ask you this too, Doc. Y'all said, y'all concerned doctors. Concerned doctors also in your statement said that as of with regards to all vaccines in the last 30 years combined, this one appears to be the most unsafe vaccine in history. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the reported incidents among the actual federal database for vaccine adverse events, which is called the VAERS, this is unprecedented in its really just adverse events as well as deaths as well. I mean, again, most of the people in the FDA or CDC will say, well, you can't rely on that. Yet when you ask them how they're doing safety and, we're really reaching out to the people that get the vaccine, you ask them in the same sentence, they'll say, well, how are y'all actually accumulating the data on how this is working in the community and the adverse events? They'll say theirs. So they don't trust it. But when you ask them how they're doing the basically the safety, or what we call pharmacovigilance, which is I need to make sure that my product isn't hurting anybody, they'll say, well, we have theirs. It's great. And then when you say, well, look at theirs, they say, well, theirs isn't reliable. I mean, come on. It's you can't win either way.
Yeah, it either is or it isn't. You either rely on it or you can't.
Exactly.
Well, so let me ask you this. I distinctly remember, I'm in my 50s. I distinctly remember as a child, and I've still got the scar, getting the smallpox vaccine, I guess polio vaccines. I mean, there have been things out there that we had to get as kids in my, early years. How does that compare to what we're talking about here today?
So most of those vaccines are your classic vaccine technology, and I think that's an important thing to think about. One of the reasons that this is a controversial vaccine is because it's a technology that is unproven and really understudied. And in that case, it also, as we've already seen, anybody who's actually been vaccinated and had COVID, it's also a technology that we seem to thank when it fails. But again, those vaccines that you would have gotten as a child, the earliest vaccine to ever be added to the childhood schedule previous to now was 10 years of research. Okay. We're basically 2 years away from the COVID vaccine. I mean, the COVID pandemic outbreak. It had, the vaccine technology is what, 16 months old? I mean, it's crazy that we would, again, push this on our youngest population. Again, they're not at risk for COVID in terms of its morbidity and mortality. So it's one thing to say, hey, we're going to use an unproven, untested technology on a age group that might be elderly and might have high risk, okay? But to use an unproven and untested technology on somebody on a risk group that is really, really low and also has the most years to live if there is some adverse event makes no sense.
Yeah, you cited one of the things that was cited, I think it was in y'all's press release, you cite that there was a large German study that showed a fatality rate of only 3 per 1 million and no deaths under age 5, and demonstrated that children under 18 with no comorbidities have virtually zero risk of death. And so yes, large-scale exactly. studies are backing up exactly what you just said.
And not only that, the other thing, if the adults wanted to make the argument that we don't want the kids spreading it to us, well, I would argue that I mean, Scott Harris made that argument to us. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or boosted.
Yes. You thank goodness I got my vaccine.
I'm not sure how that really helps decrease the incidence. The other thing is the ACIP argued that long COVID might, again, the word might was included, and this was 2 weeks ago, that it might prevent long COVID. Well, there was a really good study that came out this week that showed that there's no difference. Okay, so long, and this was in adults, obviously. So, and again, most of all the data we're using to apply to children is in the adult population. All of the studies in children had no hospitalizations and no deaths during the trial. So you know how they came up with the decrease in death and the decrease in hospitalizations? They just used the adult data and marked it up against the antibody levels that were in children. So again, they couldn't even wow. create in their study an actual adverse event. All they did was somebody tested positive or somebody didn't. No one visited the hospital and no one died. So they had to use the adult data and applied it to 5 to 11-year-olds. Now, I will ask you a question, Phil. Is a 5 and 11-year-old different than a 25-year-old?
I would think.
Yeah, I would. I would think, and not only that, would a 25-year-old, as a physician, would I recommend certain medicines to a 25-year-old that I wouldn't give to a 5 and 11-year-old?
Well, certainly. Wow.
Yeah. So again, I mean, the push to vaccinate is going to cause more harm than good. There was actually a pretty good study that came out of the British Medical Journal last week that it wasn't a study, but it was just arguing that actually these mandates are actually going to cause more harm than they do benefit. And the reason is people are going to start really even mistrusting the vaccines that we have pretty good data on.
Well, let me ask you this, Doc, just in my last question before we run out of time here, before we go to the break. In the last part of Concerned Doctor's press release calling for a cease and desist on this push for vaccines of, you know, very, very young minors, y'all requested a meeting with State Health Officer Scott Harris, either public or private. Has there been any response at all to Concerned Doctors from ADPH since you released your statement?
Not at this point. And I will tell you that we have been reaching out to have a meeting for quite a long time. But there's no interest in this dialogue. And, you know, in science, and I used this earlier, you know, science is not a leader. Science is an evaluator. People are leaders. People make decisions. Okay. So you can't say follow the science because the science doesn't lead anywhere. The science just gives you the data. And then the person decides where he's going. And Scott Harris and the Alabama Department of Health have made the decision that they want to hide behind the CDC and FDA and basically recommend something that's not needed. And we really don't know the long-term consequences of using it in our youngest Alabamians.
Wow. Well, Dr. Jordan Vaughn, as always, you lay it right down low where we can get it off the bottom shelf. So I certainly appreciate your time. Thank you for being a part of Concerned Doctors and for releasing this statement. And keep us posted if you hear back from the Department of Public Health, all right?
I will. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you. Take care. All right, folks, listen, Copper, we ran long. Go to a break, but we'll come right back. We'll kind of wrap this segment up. Just a few thoughts on this. If you want to call in and talk about it, you're welcome to it. Not going to have much time before the next break, but yes, the phone lines will be open. And I got some things coming up in the next half hour you're going to enjoy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.